Well, if you had an opportunity this week to listen to the sermon sneak peek, you'll know that we're going to be talking a little bit about what it means to listen for the Word of God. And so this morning, in response to the sermon, in response to hearing God's Word, we are going to come to the Lord in prayer, and I'll invite Diane up for the prayers of the people and the Lord's Prayer. So we'll conclude our hearing of the Word with that this morning. But if you heard the sermon's sneak peek, then you also heard that one of the things that I feel really privileged to get to be a part of in my role as a pastor is to walk with couples that are preparing for marriage. And as a part of that process, we will work through some basic communication techniques and capacity building exercises. And one of those exercises, it works out the muscles that are required for active listening. In the exercise, one member of the couple is asked to express to their partner one thing that they would like more of or less of in their relationship, and how they would feel if they got what they wanted. And their partner is then asked to simply repeat back what they heard their partner ask for and how it would make them feel if they got it. That's it. The exercise is intended to practice two things. First, it practices the skill of asking for what it is that we want, which it turns out is something that we are not often as good at as we think we are, and particularly those of us who identify as introverts. And understanding how it would make you feel to get what you want, it requires you to dig into the why underneath the request, to understand why it is that you're even asking for this thing. Now, the other skill that's practiced is that of being an active listener. You see, the listener is required to focus solely on the request of their partner, what their partner is saying, as opposed to allocating their attention to preparing a response. All they're asked to do is repeat back what they've heard. As simple as that sounds, you would be astounded at how difficult that simple instruction is to follow. And people are intelligent. Most people fully understand the instructions. And yet they struggle not to respond to the request, to defend in some way why they haven't been doing what was asked or why they shouldn't do what was asked, to qualify in some way the state of the relationship. Listening, real listening, is a difficult skill to perform well. And I think one of the reasons that true listening it's a selfless act. It really requires a total focus on the other, the needs, opinions, and perspectives of the other, as opposed to the needs, perspectives, and opinions of the other as seen through the lens of our own stuff, of our own needs, opinions, perspectives, of our own ego. That kind of listening, it requires us to set ourselves aside in the process. It is no wonder then that listening for the Word of God, discerning how God is seeking to speak to us, how God is calling us to live, how God is calling us forward, is an exceptionally challenging discipline. Our scripture this morning from 1 Samuel speaks into this, and I want to invite you to open up your pew Bibles or the Bibles that you've brought with you from home. I don't misspeak when I say that each week. I'd love to see you bringing your own Bible here to worship with you. I also want to share that you can find the scripture on your mobile device as well, if that works for you. And our app actually has a note-taking section where you can take down notes. And I say that not because I think what I have to say is so worth writing down, but rather because we believe as Presbyterians that the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of God proclaimed, and we believe that God speaks to us today. And so we'll begin at chapter 3 in 1 Samuel, beginning at verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in the room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So Samuel went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy, and therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And so Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How do you listen for the word of the Lord? How do you listen for God's voice, for God's speaking? Or do you feel like, as the writer of 1 Samuel puts it, the word of the Lord is rare in your life? One of the professors in my doctoral program, the Reverend Dr. Paul Hooker, writes that this is a story about words. Most importantly, God's word. And he points out that the Hebrew word for word, daber, itself, or one of its derivatives, can be found 15 times. It can be found 15 times in this story, more than twice the frequency of occurrence of any other word. And so he writes this. He says, "This curious fact makes for a strange and painful irony. Those who believe that the word of the Lord is nowhere to be found are virtually tripping over it." Those who believe that the word of the Lord is nowhere to be found are virtually tripping over it. Is God's word all around us, waiting for us to pick it up, yearning to be heard, if we will just lean in and listen? This story, I believe, provides for us a template for how we might go about doing just that. And I think we need to begin, just as Samuel begins here in the story, by creating some space to listen. Are you creating opportunities to listen, times of silence and quiet? Not because God can't speak through the noise, but because I think most of the times we lack the capability to listen through the noise. And as I do an audit of the way I allocate my attention, I see very clearly that I am guilty of filling up almost all of my time alone listening to something, to a podcast or an audiobook or music. Now, certainly none of these things are inherently bad, But they are also sources that I am giving my attention to. What are you giving your attention to? You know, are we moving through life so distracted by sources of our own choosing that we're shutting out our ears to the Word of God all around us? What would it look like to intentionally set aside just 5 minutes a day to lean in, to listen? Even in prayer, if I'm not careful, my prayer life can very quickly begin to look like a list of requests or even demands, rather than a conversation with God. What if we, like Samuel, were to pray saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." In our membership team meeting this past Monday, Diane reminded us as a group that we are each called by God. It is not that Nick or Diane or any other one person here has a monopoly on God's call, but rather that each and every one of us, that God calls all of us to service, that God calls all of us by name. If we will lean in together, I believe that we will hear the Lord speaking. Dan, Leanna, Laura. So what keeps you from hearing the word of the Lord? I think one of the things that can keep us from listening for the word of God is this idea or this understanding that we are somehow unworthy, that somehow the ways in which we have lived our lives now disqualify us from God's service. Michael Iaconelli, in his book Messy Spirituality, tells this story of a young boy that goes to the store to get a puppy. And so the young boy walks into this pet store and he walks up to that pen where all of the puppies are running around and playing together, and he carefully inspects each one until he finds just the right one. It's this one puppy that's sitting there in the corner, and he holds the puppy up and shows him to the pet shop owner, and the pet shop owner looks at the young boy and he says, "Son, you don't want this one." He said, "See, this puppy was actually born with a leg that is lame, and so this puppy won't be able to run around with you and play with you in the way that you desire." And it's right there in that moment where the boy lifts up his pant leg to reveal a brace on the leg. And he said, "No, sir, this is exactly the puppy that I choose." You see, the very quality that disqualified the puppy from being chosen in the eyes of the pet owner was exactly the quality that qualified the puppy to be chosen in the eyes of the boy. Friends, in the same way, whatever it is that you think disqualifies you from being a part of the kingdom of God, from taking part in God's restoration of all things, is exactly the thing that qualifies you in the eyes of our Creator. And yet, even in light of that, it can be so challenging to hear God speaking to us. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And I think it can be hard because so often when God does speak, we're given just a little bit. When we're asking for direction, we're just given the next thing so often. We're not told how it's all going to turn out. God asks us to take a step of faith. One of those podcasts that I mentioned that I enjoy listening to just a couple of weeks ago was telling the story of the life of author J.R.R. Tolkien. And Tolkien was the author of a number of books, and of course the epic trilogy, The Lord of the Rings. And if you're unfamiliar with the story, it is an epic story about the battle between good and evil, between light and dark. And as the story unfolds, we learn that the forces for good must take this ring into the enemy camp. They must take this ring all the way to Mordor, this ring that holds all of the power of the Lord Sauron. They must take this ring to be destroyed in the enemy's camp. And if you haven't read the books or seen the movies, I'm not ruining anything for you here. This is all a part of the setup. But as the forces for good are arguing over how this ought to happen, who should take it, the most unlikely of heroes steps forward. Frodo Baggins, a hobbit, steps forward and he says, "I will go, though I do not know the way. I will go, though I do not know the way." Friends, this is the kind of faithfulness that God calls us to. The kind of faithfulness where we say, "I will go, though I do not know the way. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And now the good news is that, like Frodo, God calls us to do this in the context of community with other people. This is the other piece that the scripture makes clear, that it's critical. It's critical that we listen for the word of God in the context of community. God speaks to Samuel, but Samuel only recognizes it because Eli alerts him to it. We need others to help us listen to how God is speaking because of how easily our own junk, our own stuff, can get in the way of discerning God's will. We all too often hear what we want to hear, don't we? Rather than what the Spirit is saying. We are embarking on a process as a church of discerning the vision that God has for us, that God has for this community of faith, for First Presbyterian Church of Fort Lauderdale, for the next season of ministry here in this community. We're going to be seeking to discern what God is calling this church to be in 2024 and beyond. And we must listen. We must listen as a critical part of this process. Because if we don't, and I believe this process is going to call us into some challenging and difficult places, but if we do not listen together for the will of God, then we will create a church in our own image. We will create a church that looks a lot like how we would have it look, as opposed to the church that God is calling us to be. And so, friends, can we in this new year, in this new season of ministry here, can we both individually and corporately as a body lean in and say, "Speak, Lord, your servants are listening." In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please pray with me. Loving God, we are mindful of the days, the world in which we are living. We are tempted to hide away from that which is hard, ugly, and yet true. Our world is in turmoil. There is no denying it. There is no denying our lives are complicated and complex. Our life together is complicated and complex. And so much of these complications and complexities seem beyond our efforts to change, to become different, to become aligned with your intentions for us and for all of your creation. We seek to persevere in faith, in a faithfulness that seeks your will and your way always. Today, our nation has asked us to pause. Our nation has provided us with a day to recall, another time in its history when we struggled mightily with the complicated and complex reality of our life together. We pause to remember one who rose to the challenge of his day, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. He was a citizen of this country. He was a follower of Jesus Christ, who understood himself being called to engage the complexities and the complications of his time and place of racism. And now, some 50 years later, whom are you calling, O God? Whom are you calling today to enter into, to engage, to allow one's life to be lived in service to the healing and transformation of the complications and the complexities of our nation, our world, our day, our time? Even as you called before to Samuel, to Nathaniel, you call still. You call now. You call us. You call each of us. You call all of us. Open our eyes that we might see. Open our ears that we might hear. Open our minds, our hearts, our spirits, that we may hear your call today. Your call to each of us, your call to all of us, your call to follow after the ways and the means of Jesus Christ. For it is in his name and through his grace we pray as he prayed. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's sing together our closing hymn.